you go. Boom. All right, Mark Fiorentino. There it is. Now I was thinking, Mark. That's the guy with the good video camera. you get to notice that after you do so many interviews. Who's got them and who don't?
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. It's been our pleasure to have you back, and we'll see you. Wait, we haven't started yet. Okay. I got my work cut out for you tonight. Mark, we're going to continue a little bit from where we left off, and I think we were just starting. I mean, you kind of dropped a bombshell at the end of our last interview about spiritual and psychic experiences, and that's always a place I want to go. Man, that's why they call me the Cosmic Cowboy, because a lot of times I feel like no matter who comes on the show, there's some sort of spiritual, whatever the topic is, there's a spiritual connection, maybe a psychic connection, whatever, and it just seems to be part of the reality that we live in. But before we go into that, I want you to just take a second, reintroduce yourself to the audience, who you are, what are you about, why did you write the book Masters of Reality, anything you want to say right now.
Sure. I wrote the book Masters of Reality. It's basically I've solved the unified field theory problem, and that's in the book. So I wanted to bring up that point first of all. And once I understood the origin of mass, gravity, and inertia, I was able to go forward and realize that since gravity is a contraction, then if we reverse that and cause an expansion of space, we could have anti-gravity. And the last part of my book, I go into how to do an experiment that gives us proof that anti-gravity exists and can be used to build spaceships and so forth so that we could travel across the galaxy and in the universe. Mm-hmm. So basically, that's the book. There's not a lot of spiritualism stuff in there except for one section where I have an NDE that I discovered, a person who had an NDE who discovered the thing I was looking for, and I was looking through NDEs, and I'll go through that whole process mm-hmm. later on in the show, mm-hmm. why I took that path to find something called the signature of God, which is basically the method that God uses to create mass from the motion of energy particles in this universe. So that's basically what the book is all about. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Could we safely say that's a fingerprint of God?
I've heard it's called other things, the breath of God. I mean, it's the thing that create, because there's mass and particles, we have a whole universe comes into being so that we can experience it. Without that process, the universe goes black. You can't see or sense anything. This is the magic from the power of God. Basically, I call it through the intention of God that this universe and all its physical laws was created.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was so some of the things I think about, some people think about you know, how to make the perfect spaghetti, what's on Netflix. I'm thinking the other day, well, if there was a Big Bang and that was the beginning of all things, where did the original Big Bang stuff come from? Isn't that, I mean, if you have to go back, you can't have a Big Bang without something being in existence, and then maybe somebody initiating the so-called Big Bang. And I say so-called because nobody was there. There's no evidence, although scientists are, that's their plausible explanation for all existence and matter. But doesn't it make sense that if you keep going back as far as you can go with whatever there is, it has to come to some kind of intelligent being that crosses between time and space, where there is no time, who always was, always will be in that era. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's perfectly put. I would agree with everything we just said. My book is in my theory, the theory of super relativity, is an intelligent design theory. And so what you just said, basically, there's an eternal being, God, for lack of a better name. I mean, it's a perfectly good name. And the supreme being, God, the universal being, created this universe at some point in time. But since God is an eternal being, he's constantly doing this, and he's constantly creating new universes. And even a particular person who had an NDE was witness to him creating a universe right before his eyes. It's something that God does, the creator, he creates. And there's more to that, because I went through many NDEs in my research. There is a lot of wisdom in those NDEs, and I highly recommend that people go on YouTube and listen to some of those NDEs, because you will learn a lot, not only about the universe, but about yourself and the things that you're going through. You will get a lot of great wisdom and understanding, because they tell it like it is, including, you know, the meaning of life. And I do it all the time, because I'm always learning something new. And it's how I got part of a very important part of my theory solved, because I chose to go out there and look for something very specific that was there, which is the signature of God.
And I don't see anything wrong with looking into NDEs. Some may say that's a waste of time. I don't think so. We've had, I don't know how many NDEs on this program, and I've been, you know, I've been encouraged, really, by a lot of what has been said. That doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with them, but there are some interesting points and things that are brought to mind and bear that I never have contemplated before. Now, you just suggest one right there that God, you say, and whatever your evidence is okay with me, I will accept what you say about God is continuing to create universes. Well, that's not really discussed. You know, I think the basic soul understands there is a creator. I mean, nature declares there is a God, so therefore all are without excuse. But there's no place where it says God created everything and stopped. And right. I would think, as a creator, I'm creating the show tonight. You're creating conversation with me tonight. So we're in the midst of creating right now.
That is correct.
So we're kind of co-creators of the universe in some way, and I think that's a character thing or a trait or whatever you want to call it that God created into us to be able to do ourselves. So yeah, he could be creating universes, and who knows what that would be. I mean, there are dogmatic folks that feel like I'm taking over the conversation, because I'm going to talk. I'll let you have it in a second. But that God, you know, didn't say he's still creating. But, you know, I think the Bible even says that if all of that was written, couldn't be even contained in the book. So, you know, I mean, just to make life itself, you'd think there would be an untold amount of data it would take to even do that. So it just seems that that he is still creating. That does make plausible sense there too. But you said let's get move into this. You said you talked to people with NDEs. Now, how does that go into super relativity and unified field theories?
Well, there's two paths that I traveled through my life that led to this book: the spiritual path and the technical path, where I did research as a hobby into unified field theory, Albert Einstein, Maxwell, Newton, all those guys who I was fascinated with and their stories. And so the spiritual path is was just, it didn't actually get me into the science stuff. I was into the science stuff because I just curious, and I love science, and I wanted to know how things worked. And so I followed that path, but in the meantime, in parallel, these things were happening in the spiritual side. So maybe I should start off with a little bit of a story or an adventure that explains all of the spiritual stuff. Would you like me to go ahead and do that?
Yeah,
sure. Well, it all started for me, spiritually speaking, when I was about 19 years old, and me and my friend and some other friends decided we were going to go to a place called Casadega. Now, before I continue, I want everybody to be thinking this can relate to you, because you're going to hear about spirit guides, you're going to hear about God, Jesus, you're going to hear a lot about spirit guides and how they work. And this is true for everyone, not just for me. So we all, 8 billion people, and time again from NDEs, we get the message that we are all supported by spirit guides or guardian angels, what the Catholics call them. And that's true. That's real, and that's something that you should consider in your lives when you say your prayers and you want help, because they're there to help you. So going back to the story now, it was an October day. When I was 19 years old, I had heard something at the community college I was going to about a town called Casadega. I don't know if you've ever heard of that town, Casadega. It's in Florida.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's the spiritualist capital of the North America.
Okay.
So the town is just loaded with psychic mediums. And we thought it would be fun to go there and get our fortune told, right? Just okay. Kids wanting to have some fun. So one October day, we got in the car, a bunch of us, and on the way to Daytona Beach, we stopped off at Casadega, and we began looking for a medium. Now, that day was blustery and cold, and I remember hearing this song on the radio, and it just kind of struck me funny. It was a song by James Taylor called Migration, and the first verse is very spooky sounding, and it actually fit into my circumstance for the rest of my life. And it goes basically like this. It starts off with, "Distant hands in foreign lands are turning hidden wheels, causing things to come about that no one seems to feel. All invisible from where we stand, the connections come to pass, and though too strange to comprehend, they affect us nonetheless." Daniel, that applies to everybody. It's called synchronicity, and it's happening to every one of us, mm-hmm. and it's to help us do our work in this life to expand and become better human beings. That's what it's really all about. Mm-hmm. So we go in there and we finally find somebody. The guys in the other car, they got spooked because a branch blew off the tree and hit their car, and they got scared and they went on to Daytona, and that just left me and Duff to find somebody. And we did finally, after going to a few houses, and they would look between the blinds and then shut them, and then we got a little spooked by that. But finally we found somebody, and I still remember her name. Her name was Martha McKay. And she was the first psychic I ever talked to, and I went in first, and then my friend followed me. And I had a very normal reading. It was just, you know, you will be married, you'll have two children, there'll be two children in this world. And she saw me getting involved in electronics, which I wasn't involved in at that time, but it was something I always liked as a kid. And I wanted to do that, but, you know, I was always kind of afraid of the math, so I didn't get into it. But she saw me in this thing of wires, surrounded by wires, and she was having a trouble describing it. But she said, "This, I don't know what this is, but there's screens with lights and data and everything on it and wires everywhere." And that actually happened. I wound up building a test station where I was surrounded by computers, and all these wires were dropping down from the two-story benches, the workbenches mm-hmm. that I was at had double-decker, and they had computers, like eight computers all around me with all the cables dropping down. And when I saw that one day, years later, I said, this is what she saw. This is exactly what she described to me in that reading. And so I did everything she predicted came true, every last thing. And she said something right at the beginning of that, which was repeated by other psychics later on in my life. She said, in your final years, you will be a spiritual teacher. And I said, well, that's interesting. I have no idea how that's going to come about, but okay, you know, I just went with it. And it was a normal reading. There was nothing strange at that point. Duff went in, had his reading. We got in our car, we left, and we were talking about it on the way to Daytona. And then all of a sudden he says to me, hey, Mark, that's real interesting what she said about you. And I said, what are you talking about? I had nothing strange in my reading. She says, oh, yeah, someday you're going to be famous. You're going to make a discovery, an invention, something like that. And I said, really? I wonder why she didn't tell me that. And I thought about it, and I analyzed that, and I said, because I would have asked questions. I would have tried to figure out what it was, and I would have tried to start working on it right away. And that's not in my life plan. And what you'll all come to know is we all have a life plan, and we have to try to stick to that. Mm-hmm. And that's what the spirit guides help us mm-hmm. do, to mm-hmm. follow that plan so we mm-hmm. do our work and we evolve.
Mm-hmm. Life plan, could that be where you feel like you're in your lane? I mean, because it seems like, you know, we all get to do things or get involved with things, and some things are really hard, and it's kind of like you're not in your lane, but if you change it to something else, all of a sudden it seems like it feels right. Is that what we're talking about, Mark?
Yeah, it's basically, and I got this from another NDE who went through the entire birth process, pre-birth process, where you go to training. Before you're born, you go to classes to get trained, because this is a rough ride.
Wow.
Life is a very challenging, and life in the physical realm is a rough ride, and you need to be prepped come down. And you do that, and then there's a swearing in that you're going to try to remember what you came into life to do.
Hmm.
And not all of us do. Mm-hmm. Heroes often fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the process. So you do have a plan. Of course, you have free will and choice, and many people never find it. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, what we're finding out now is when they're off plan, they have an NDE, and they get reminded that you aren't doing your work,
mm-hmm.
and you need to go back and do your work. Not God's work, it's your work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people say it's God's work.
Okay, could we also receive those instructions through lucid dreaming?
Yes, mm-hmm. and that's happened to me, and it happens to many people. So there are many ways to get the messages to you through dreaming, through intuition, through imagination, and rarely you get a direct message. And I will tell you, where in one place I did get an exact message, I heard it auditory, right, okay, in my left ear. So there's many ways. You really got to get a message, they get it to you.
What was the message?
I'll get to that. I'm going to go through the process, because I want you to see the pattern that was in my life.
Okay.
And it's about the three or four more places down here, and a guardian angel saves my life.
Mm-hmm.
So after Martha McKay and that, my interest has peaked. So I can never really get that, wow, going to do something big someday at the last part of my life. So about a year or so later, we have another psychic comes to Polk Community College, and he wants to do a lecture in the lecture hall. So I go down there, and I said, I'll just record it for the school, because I work for community college at this point. In the media department. So I went down there and recorded it, and he did a demonstration. He blindfolded himself. Mm-hmm. Many different ways. There was no way he could see out of there, and all he had to do was touch the paper. What he did is have us all put pieces of paper with our name and a question, and he could read the name and the question without seeing it. And when he picked up the first piece of paper, the hairs on the back of my neck went up. I says, oh man, he's got mine. I could feel it. And sure enough, the first name he calls out, he struggles because it's a strange name, Mark Fiorentino. I says, yeah, that's me, you know. and then he reads the question, and he gets it right. It says, will I invent something important someday? And he gives this pause, and he says, yes, it will happen, but it will take much longer than you think.
Hmm.
So now, you know, I'm piecing together patterns. I'm getting tips. And I'm looking at this and say, I'm getting information from the other side. I'm supposed to do something important. I have no idea what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time, we're going to continue on now. That was 75. Now we're in the 77, 78 time frame. I need to speak to a psychic again. And And another psychic is coming to the community college to speak at night. So me and my now wife, that was predicted, happened. Okay. And so we went together, because I wanted to know. I was thinking about, you know, going to technical school, electronics school,
mm-hmm.
which is something I wanted to get into. I wound up getting into it, just as she said. And I needed to ask, because my mother was very sick, and I was thinking, well, maybe I should take some time off and just move in with my dad or something and help him with my mom, because she's very sick. And I thought, well, you know, I'll do what the angels say. And so before the lecture, I'm walking up to Ann Game, and she's sitting in the back of the room. I know her. She's a pretty famous person. She eventually went up to Washington, D.C. to serve the politicians. They all, you guys don't know about it, but a lot of politicians use psychic mediums to get at the advantage for elections, what to do, what to say, strategy. But they don't realize you can't trick God. So if you're not meant to win, it's not, you're not going to get what you need. But so as I'm walking up to her, she gets startled look in her face. And she said to me as I stepped up to her, and I don't even remember if I got the question out or not. I just remember her giving me a direct answer immediately upon walking up. Maybe I asked it, maybe it didn't. I can't remember. But the answer came swiftly. She says, there's a host of angels that shot by you like they were in great stress. They're all saying, do not quit school. You must go to school. It's vitally important that you go to that school.
They all said
and she
that,
said, I've never seen any angels act like that. And so she went up to the podium and then started the lecture by saying, I just saw something I've never seen before. I've never seen angels in a panic over something like this.
Wow.
And it's very unusual because they're pretty cool, calm, and collected on the other side. So I thought, well, here's another clue. So I says, I'll try to help out that where I can, but I guess I should get on it and get into that school. And so that's what I did.
For those that have been listening, where are we heading so we can get a refresher here?
We're heading down the road, a series of psychic experiences, spiritual experiences that basically are guiding me to eventually write this book.
Okay, so you're getting directions, and you're consulting psychics. You know, while we were talking, Mark, I kind of remembered a Twilight Zone with William Shatner, where him and his wife, his car break down, so him and his wife go on a little diner, and they put a penny into a little demon thing, and then you pull this lever down, and it puts out a piece of paper, tells you what your future is, and he got so enamored by that he was paralyzed what the little thing was saying. He had to get some more pennies. He kept trying to know his future.
Do you feel, yeah, I remember that.
You feel in some way consulting all these people? You're the person putting a penny in there, and now you're paralyzed because you can't do anything unless they tell you you're supposed to?
Oh, no, because I looked at it like this. If you want to know something really important, if you want to understand your life or how something works, why not go to the source and ask the creator? When you talk to a real psychic, or you have a psychic and a spiritual experience, a near-death experience, you're talking, no matter who it is on the other side, because they're all connected. Mm-hmm. Everyone is connected on the other side, so you have access to everything. So you're basically talking to God. And you're going to get what advice and wisdom you can get that they can give that's appropriate for your time and your life. You won't get more than you need. You won't get, like you're saying, you make a good point, you don't get forced into where I need more instruction. There's times in my life I felt a little like that. If I could just get a little more detail, like right now, what do I need to do to get this thing going? So there is a little bit of that, but you just have to step back and say, hey, it's an adventure, and part of this adventure is going through the experience, and just try something. Mm-hmm. Go with your gut. Mm-hmm. Do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And they're there to help you. And you, if you ask them, they'll send you little hints and clues. They won't do it for you. They will not tell you exactly what to do from day to day. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me bring the audience into this. Okay, I'm going to ask people, the people watching the show, do you feel like you're on the path you're supposed to be on, or you feel like you've got off the path? And speaking of the path, it kind of reminds me of the movie Failure to Launch with Matthew McConaughey. He was off the path, and when he was off the path, nature rebelled against him. He was bitten by a dolphin. He was bitten by a squirrel, a salamander. I mean, nature was rebelling against him because he was not on the path, Mark. So are there indicators? Now, Tony in Louisiana says he's on the path. Max says he's on the path. So how does somebody know for sure they're on the path? I mean, it certainly can't be a bed of roses.
Well, that's the key to the trick to life. You don't know for sure. And so you have to trust in your intuition, and you have to do what's in your heart, what makes sense to you, what feels right, and don't be lazy. And sometimes what you got to do, it takes effort. You know, you can't accomplish great things by making no effort and just sitting and waiting for something to happen to you. Mm-hmm. You have to take action. Mm-hmm. People have to move.
That reminds me of a kind of a maxim. It says there are three kinds of people: those that watch things happen, those that make things happen, and those that wondered what happened. So which category yeah. are you, Mark?
Well, I started out watching, and now I'm in the last phase of my life. I'm the making. I'm trying to make something very specific happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is it?
I want to bring into reality anti-gravity technology, and of course alert the world that the unified field theory solution has been solved. And I want people to know that problem, it's important, so that we can advance, so we get physicists back on the right course, because they're way off course now. They are chasing the rabbit down the hole.
The solution
gets that corrected. They okay. can see which way to go.
All right, let's get a question in here from our audience here. Z Ryder says, Mark, are there different groups of angels who are loyal to different leaders?
There's a hierarchy. I don't know a lot about the specifics. You know, there's, like in one session, I had a 9-foot angel who was in charge of the universe, universal wow. things and powers, and it mm-hmm. came in through a psychic and said, and the psychic was right. I was writing my first technical paper, and she just came out of the blue. Are you writing some sort of scientific or technical paper? Mm-hmm. Just out of the blue, she says, and mm-hmm. well, as a matter of fact, I am. mm-hmm. And this is back in 93. Mm-hmm. Well, she says, there's a 9-foot tall archangel here today. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to let you know he's helping you. And I thought, I wonder, does this guy come to help everybody?
mm-hmm. Now, the Bible does say that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So, and I've always wondered, at what time, and you may not know the answer to the question, but I mean, this cloud of witnesses, I mean, do they watch everything? Yes. You know, I mean, do you, like, you know, go to shower, you know, take a dump? I mean, you know.
I think they see it all. I don't know if they give you personal breaks, privacy breaks, or whatever. I've wondered about that myself. Whew. But
better not roll my tape.
Every thought you think, everything you've said, everything you've done, nothing escapes. Mm. When you go for your life review, it's all played back in full 3D, and you also get to feel the feelings of the persons that you said things to, that you did things to. Mm. You live a full life review. You throw a wrapper over a bridge, it goes into the river, it's followed, you see how that action affected the people down the line. Anything you say, anything you do, it's all there. It's mm-hmm. all remembered. Okay. It goes into.
So is it your entire life, every second of your life? So, I mean, is it going to take your, how you say, if you're, you know, 60, 70, you have to sit there and watch 70 years worth of stuff?
It happens, as I'm told, in an instant. Mm-hmm. It's like you see everything in like little cubes, or, you know, it's different people see it a little different ways, but it's like really quick, but it's like detailed. You see everything, you know, because there is no time on the other side. Mm-hmm. So all of this stuff can be unleashed in the same moment, and you can experience it all at once, and you have the capability of grasping all of this, but mm-hmm. you're connected back into God. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go through that review to go over how you did, you know, what mm. things you did well, so, and what okay. things you didn't do so well.
Okay, so are you going to get an A, a B? I mean, what's your grade going to be?
I don't know. I'm trying to make up for all the years that I wasted or whatever. I don't know. It's hard to say because how do you know?
To give people a little hope so that they won't get shamed right out of heaven. The Bible does say.
Oh, okay. Let me say it to you this way.
Okay, go ahead.
There's actually there's no judgment by God. I know the Bible and a lot of religions say that He judges you, but when you get there, He doesn't judge you. It's pure love. He's pure understanding, pure compassion. Mm-hmm. You judge you.
Right. And that's what the Bible says. It says if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. So, you know, if we stole that pen and thought, you know, I shouldn't have done that, then that won't come up for life review?
Yeah. No, experience is considered, you know, really wrong. It's just an experience. There are more positive
This is where Benita gets upset here, because I've had this conversation with some others in that, you know, you get to Hitler or you get to a baby murderer or something like that, you know, and I've heard people say on this show that, you know, it's no big deal. You know, I mean, as if, you know, that somehow there's, you know, give to no judgment, you get no judgment on that. I got a hard time believing that one. I can't hardly go there. But let me ask you this. This is from another viewer. Doreen says, did Jesus ever talk to you? If so, what did He say?
Jesus didn't talk to me directly. I had a session with Tamara, who was on your show. And through her, He did give me some messages.
Okay. Kevin says, Mark, what is your take on there being at least one age before the Adamic age that was destroyed, and we are in an infancy of knowledge and tech that was of old? In other words, we're rediscovering the old technology.
I don't know if there was any, you know, Atlantean age or whatever. Some people say there were. Certainly, a very famous psychic who I can't remember his name right now. Said there was, and so I would say there probably was somewhere, but I don't know. There's a lot of future predictions about that we're going to go back to in a time in the future, one possible scenario where there's very low tech. And it was hard for the person who experienced that, whose name was Howard Storm, that we could go back from having TV and jets and all this stuff to just an agricultural community.
So you're saying after the nuclear war is what you're
saying. Yeah, after whatever.
We're back in the Stone Age.
Second coming, which a lot of people are saying is going to happen soon.
All right. Is there any information you have about near-death experiences and galaxies? Are they connected in any way?
Galaxies, and I'm not sure what they mean by that. I mean, there's near-death experiences where people travel across the universe. I remember reading about one where the guy wanted to explore the galaxy. He got outside of the galaxy and he could look at it from a great distance, because once you're passed away and you're on the other side, you can travel at infinitely fast speeds and be anywhere you want, and just by thinking. And then he could look at the galaxy, and then he kept traveling, and he traveled out of the whole universe, our universe, and saw it as a little ball of light. And then he could look around, and from at great distances there were other universes, balls of light that were like, you know, in certain other areas, you know, here, there, just like infinitely going on in each direction. So some near-death experiencers have been able to travel out to the universe, out to the galaxy, out to the universe, to go to the moon or stars or wherever. So that's possible once you pass away on the other side. What you think is where you wind up.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but our last week's guest said he was part of the secret space program, and he was able to travel through wormholes to other galaxies, and he went to Mars and moon base and various places, Pleiades. So, you know, I don't know if that's coming technology, but he says he's in it right now. But let me just ask the people in the live chat, because I always like to just drag them into this mess. In live chat, you get a chance to judge yourself 1 through 10. Where you at? 1 being you're a freakzoid scoundrel, and it's getting pretty hot. or 10, you're going to get in the front row at the great throne there. You get the front row, and I'm going to put mine in there right now. I'm going to judge myself where I am right now. So others, you can judge yourself. Put what you think you are, 1 through 10. Where are you at right now in your journey on life? And so now you have our opportunity here, right here on the S Television broadcast. And it's because Mark. Okay, so let's get to another question for you. So, Mark, do you see a push for the Mark of the Beast?
Well, yeah, that's something that comes up a lot. You know, they might put it in a microchip or something. You know, it's within the realm of possibility. It seems like that's something that could happen at any time. I would think it would be a microchip or something, but
okay,
because you know, to get the technology to track you and everything.
Okay, all right, Mark, I got to interrupt you. We're getting numbers in here. Z Ryder says he's a perfect 10, man. I mean, he's getting to the front of the class, man. He's when they say come up hither, he's going to be the first one flying through the air. Put y'all way first. Got a 7. Now, ZZ Ryder, you can't be 15, okay? Now, you could look at this a little seriously, a little self-reflection. That's what we're talking about here. Doreen says a 4. Tony Louisiana says 10. Scotty says 6. Jim Shook says 7. Australian Ben says, 2-ish. Richard Brower got another. So a lot of people feel like they are on the path, Mark. I mean, where else would you be if you're giving yourself a 10? And they're going to get some extra credit for that. Truth and Treasure 9, Mickey V 7. Smoke C says he or she's a 3. Jade, our moderator, says she's a 5. Rose 7. Of course, anybody says more than 10, like Gary, we know we're going to discount that. Okay, get X through that. Z Ryder keeps logging in. He says it depends on which day you look at it. We're talking about everything. Max says 5 by 5. Scotty says first in class. So some people think very highly of their self. Like they're getting to the front of the show. And you know, if they genuinely believe that, that's a good thing. But I got a tendency to think the higher you think your number is, perhaps the lower it in actuality it is.
Who knows?
Just saying.
Good theory.
Just saying, man.
I think it's interesting that you bring up about Hitler and how that all works and where did he wind up. I don't think don't know for sure, haven't heard any NDEs talk about him, but I suspect strongly he's not in the heavenly realm. I think he has a lot of guilt for what he's done, and he's created a massive amount of negative energy, and when that happens, you can't get into heaven. You just won't fit. You know, you're not at the right frequency, and you wind up in the void somewhere or haunting something, as many people do for a while before they come into the light. Odds are he's probably in a place like that somewhere.
Okay.
Millennia, probably.
The reason I would never say I'm a 10 is because of a certain parable I read once. It said that there was a meeting, and a guy came in. Everybody was coming in, and then one guy came in, and he thought he was really, you know, he didn't have any sin, and he was Mr. Righteous. So he walked up to the front and sat down, and the guy doing the meeting says, he looked down at him and said, "Wait a minute, I know who you are. Get up and go back to the back." So see, I don't. And then somebody in the back got asked up. See, I'd rather sneak in the back door with my toe, and then the guy says, "Come on up front here," rather than walking up front, says, "You know what? I gave to the poor, and I never had an unrighteous thought, and I'm sitting right here." So that's why I never say I'm a 10.
Yeah.
Parables work.
I'm somewhere in the middle, I would think. You know, I'm trying to gain some more reward points at this point by doing the right things. Mm-hmm. And doing things
right
that
things,
are important that are going to help people.
Okay, considering that you did something imperfect before, can you undo what you already done by adding to some good stuff?
I don't think you can undo anything. It's just part of your life experience. It's just, you know, you did this for whatever reasons at this point in your life, and you move forward, and hopefully. The important thing is you learn from it, and you learn if it's a bad thing not to do it again, and to live by the golden rule. That's what we all have to really evolve to. It's not hard. It's not complicated. The goal here for everybody is to live by the golden rule. And I think Jesus goes into that somewhere. Basically, that's the concept that he tried to get across to everybody. It's just that simple. But we don't do it in practice for whatever reasons.
Well, I would say the golden rule is why, why America is one giant mess right now. You know, so some of the simplest things ever. So the simplest words that ever existed, love one another. You know, if that was true, this country would be completely different. The people, they don't get that lesson. They think that the morality is in what benefits them. Whatever is good is what benefits them. And then if that means
corruption.
If that means taking from somebody else, then it becomes a righteous act. And so it's completely screwed up. And that shows you that people cannot come up with their own code of rules of how to behave, because they will inevitably and invariably go to the lowest, debasest common denominator, and that's where we are. We have to have an external force that would hand us down the Ten Commandments, that would hand us down parables and scriptures that tell us what truth is and how to behave. And the country was much better when we did pay attention, and now America's not paying attention, Mark, and I don't know. It seems to me that you're kind of out there searching. You've consulted some psychics and stuff. And by the way, Tamara was a really good guest on the program. Did you guys ever talk after the show?
Oh yeah, we talk all the time. I had a major breakthrough with her, and that story is an interesting story. I went to her because of a freak accident in my house here in Florida, where a bat came in. And I had to catch it. Now, bats carry rabies, and if you get rabies, you die. It's pretty much 100% kill rate. I think there's only one or two people in North America that ever survived that. So I thought I might have been contaminated because of what I did. And I was cleaning out the thing I caught it in, and there was a lot of mucus or fluid in it. And as I sprayed it with the hose, some of it splashed up and got close to my eye. And then I panicked. I said, if it went in my eye, can I get infected that way? Went to the internet, saw that I could, panicked, called up the county health department and tried to get them to give me the shot. They wouldn't. Oh, you're all right. It's usually from a scratch or a bite, and you didn't get that, didn't happen to you. But I was just freaked out about it. So then I said, man, I got a psychic or somebody. And I knew this lady back in Charlotte 20 years. I hadn't been to a psychic in like 20 something years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my life was going good. And up until this point, and that's when I found Tamara back in Charlotte, where I used to have the psychic that I went to many years ago to help me greatly through a great time of crisis.
Mark, have you ever noticed people that don't believe in God have a tendency to hate God?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I saw this sign the other day on the internet. Some guy was protesting and saying that if Jesus comes back, we'll kill him again. And I thought that was horrible. It's so strange. Why would you hate goodness and love? It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
What
you just don't like being wrong, and you don't want anybody that's not on your side. Mm-hmm. You know, you want bad things to happen to them, and it's just not a good thing. I could tell you about NDEs, and basically a lot of them are coming back and saying there's a battle going on between good and evil on the other side, and it's spilling into this world. And so we're right in the midst of it right now. It's spilled into this world, and so now we have the good versus evil here. Mm-hmm. And like the Bible says, the bad shall be called good and the good bad. Mm-hmm. And we're having that situation at this point right now. Mm-hmm. In the news and in the media, it's very frustrating to see that actually coming true. And if the evil wins the battle, we'll have the second coming. They won't win the war. If we win the battle, the good guys, and we avert the corruption and everything, then we can avert the catastrophes. And that's what's happening. That's why all these NDEs are happening right now. God is basically building an army.
I was just thinking, are you talking to the people that hate God? You usually find them screaming for some reason. They're screaming at God who doesn't exist, but what they're screaming is they're trying to block their ears from hearing God tell them you know what you're doing is wrong. And they don't want to hear that voice. And so they start screaming and they say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. But their conscience is saying, and it's God speaking to them, I love you, but what you're doing is wrong. And they can't stand that voice. And I think that probably gives me a little bit of hope knowing that that if they're screaming like that, that there still may be a chance they'll come to the right side. All right, Gord from Canada says, Mark, Walter Russell said that God's field is still magnetic light. There is no motion until a force causes electricity and matter. Does this fit with your unified field model?
Wow, I'm actually pretty impressed by what was just said there, because it's kind of exactly, I mean, the wording, the phrasing is a little reversed, but basically my model says that there is a nothing but the ether. It's a fundamental field. And from that fundamental field, we build matter and energy, and it starts with the electrostatic field, sort of like what the guy is saying. And the electrostatic field, the Coulomb force, is charge. And when in charge is a twist of space, just like, looks like that.
Oh,
nice. See how it expands and goes up?
Yeah.
That's a vortex-like shape.
Uh-huh.
So like an electron looks like this. At the real level there, small level. And so once a charge is formed in space, there is what I call the slip wave field. It's a pressure field that exists along, it increases from here where it's very small, and it gets stronger and stronger as the twist of space expands space. So it gets less dense as it goes from the beginning to the end, and a pressure field forms in here, and it's this pressure field or this pressure wave that causes the motion of the particle. So it's exactly like what your person just said over here. So you have motion, and then the magnetic field forms as this thing moves through, as this thing moves through space, a magnetic field goes around it. Mm-hmm. And so space reacts from this moving twisted charge and rotates as it goes by.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exactly what your friend just basically said there.
You know that thing that looked like a shell, but what it reminded me of a Star Trek episode, man. There was something like shaped just like that.
The horn thing.
Yeah, shaped like space, and it was eating planets, man, going through space.
Yeah. The blaster or whatever that thing was.
Well, they hit it with the photon torpedoes, man, and it didn't phase it, and it just started eating planets. All right, let's get to this question. The Norway spiral kind of looked like your shell. Why?
Why that? Which spiral? Like this spiral here?
Yeah.
Are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, that's just, you know. What do they call that? There's a mathematical term that describes this kind of shape. It's called the golden... I can't think of the word right now.
Golden rings?
It's just a form. It's a form that a geometric form that shows up a lot in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And the vortex shape was theorized back in the James Clerk Maxwell's time by many people like Heaviside and so forth. Mm-hmm. Who thought this is the only reasonable explanation for how a particle can exist. And the only way that particle can exist and have this shape is that space has to be a quasi-elastic solid, because these things persist. They don't unwind. If it were a liquid, it wouldn't form. If it were a gas, it wouldn't form. So they figured out that space is a quasi-elastic solid. And so they figured out at least this much, but they were never able to complete the theory of these of the vortex model, because they didn't know what caused the motion of particles. And to this day, they don't know until my book. I put it out there, and I spend a whole chapter describing the slip wave, which is what forms inside of this particle. And any particle with charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's inside the particle. So its motion is independent of other external forces. It's internal to the particle, and that's a key thing to understand and know. Mm-hmm. Vitally important to know that.
Using that shell really did help with the explanation. But Yahweh First in Life Chat said the episode of Star Trek was called the Doomsday Machine.
Yeah,
that was scary too, man. Because I, you know, they used everything they had. I mean, even Scotty, man, he had to get dilithium crystals to crank the power up. So Z Rider says, where is this pressure wave coming from?
It's inherent. It's inside. As you go from the beginning, right here is no heart. There's no space is flat. It hasn't started to turn. And as it turns, as you go along, it gets stretched. Mm-hmm. And as it stretches, the density decreases. So you have a density field in here that emerges from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. So it gets less dense. It's like a bubble in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And the bubble moves because of pressure.
Are we in one of those things, Mark?
Every particle in our body, every subatomic particle, every fundamental subatomic particle moves with this because of this. Mm. Now, they move in two different ways, though. One's an accelerated fashion, and the other is a straight line fashion. Photons move in a straight line at a set rate of speed. Mm-hmm. A photon, if you want to know what that would look like, would be this, because it has both negative and positive. Oh, boy, my fat fingers are too big.
I was going to say it.
You got one, and then the other bolted right next to it. Yeah. One, it's got a negative charge and a positive charge. That makes it go straight.
They're going to have a baby one of those that keeps up. does nature ever create a square?
Oh, yeah, sure. At the bigger molecular levels, you get all the different types of geometries, you know, triangles, spheres, all kinds of other types of... what are they called? More complex. I can't think of the name. There are all these other geometries that form crystalline structures. You know, you know, multiple diamonds, multiple trapezoids. All the different types of different shapes come about in the crystalline forms from atoms assembling into these different structures. So yeah, you get all kinds of different shapes at the molecular level in nature.
Just recently, I think in the last 2 weeks, news came out from the Large Hadron Collider, and it made an internet buzz, and that was that they said they're expecting to open up into other dimensions, and I don't know what's going to come through there, which is, to me, the first time that the representatives of that technology said that they were expecting to see or demonstrate other universes or dimensions. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't heard about that, but you know, I have a lot of problems with the interpretations that come from quantum mechanics, and especially what they're doing with making the ever gone and going search for more and more particles with little value add at this point.
Well, yeah, I don't see what that gets you, shooting a little particle around a 2 mile thing. I mean, who's paying for that?
Well, you know, that's how they do business. You know, that's how they make money, and that's how they have Nobel prizes, because they use the mathematics, the statistical probabilities, to and using a certain set of parameters, they can figure out by colliding particles whether a new particle might show up. Mm-hmm. And once they do that, then they can play with the particle accelerator and see if that happens. And if they can get particles to smash at the right angle, at the right speed, at the right energy, and that particle shows up, then, you know, they have a champagne party and everybody wins a Nobel Prize. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they move on to the next one. And I just don't see the value add of this anymore, in that it's diminishing, because, you know, we're at the point where we can't crank up the energy anymore, and we can't really increase the luminosity anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's getting harder to find new particles that really don't do anything of any great value in our normal universe.
That reminds me of a scene from the movie Contact, where the guy said, first rule of government, why build one when you can build two for twice the cost? And so, you know, we probably, I don't know how many Hadron
Collider. Well, I think they want to build a bigger one now, more powerful, so they can, you know, search for a few more particles.
Yeah, we don't need to fix inner cities, you know, and infrastructure. No, we need to build those damn round circles. Nobody knows what they're supposed to do. Maybe it's a giant donut for a Nephilim or something. All right, Teflon Coat says, can we just visualize an algebraic equation into a geometric graph?
Some people can. That's not something I do. I only, you know, work on a very small set of equations that had meaning to me that I, you know, I thought that I fairly, you know, understood fairly well. But there are gifted people that could see the human computers that could actually calculate things and see the graph. I think that's amazing for whoever can do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then we have this here. And we may have asked you this last time. I'll go ahead and ask again. Do you know anything about the incoming planet Nibiru?
No. I just know basically
I tried to get you into conspiracy theories last time. I didn't get very far.
No, I kept my research very tight to gravity and anti-gravity, so I know a little bit about anti-gravity conspiracy theories, a little bit about, you know, energy, because I was interested in how to produce enough energy to drive a UFO or an interstellar spacecraft, so I needed to know and learn about that. Mm-hmm. So those were I focused most of my conspiracy theory kind of stuff. There are literally thousands of conspiracy theories and alternate theories out there. It's just impossible
to
know.
I got one. Does Bigfoot use the unified field theory to go in and out of dimensions, and that's why he doesn't get caught?
Wow. That actually is not a bad question. You know, my wife and I were talking about this. And I made the same observation. This guy just seems to pop up different places, but they never find any bones or anything, and he's gone. And so maybe it's an interdimensional creature. Mm-hmm. So somehow he can step through a portal, you know, or they, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're a race of beings, you know. Yeah. It's speculation, admitted, but that's a really good hypothesis.
Oh, good. You can put a credit for me in your next book.
All right.
Did Tesla unlock the fabric of time?
Tesla did a lot of great things. He did a lot of great things with high energy, you know, high voltage stuff. I don't think he had an idea about the ether, too, as like Einstein did. But Tesla's ether, he thought, was a liquid, and that's not right. Mm-hmm. And so we don't agree on that.
What about this? Baron Trump, I believe he appeared in an old book called Time Travel Adventures. How did that happen?
Baron Trump. I know of a Trump that he worked for some sort of company, worked for the FBI for a little while. He took Tesla's papers and analyzed them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's Baron Trump, though.
Mm-hmm. Gary asked the question, says, Mark, what do you think of the Slayer Exciter circuit?
Don't know what that is. Well, if they could Slayer, tell me what a little thinking, bit more I'm about thinking, it, what it does, I
I'm thinking
tell
it's
you.
A sword. I'm thinking it's a sword,
oh,
man.
Okay.
I don't know. Gary, you got anything else on that? Give us a thing. Okay, so we are on a planet that's spinning. What, 600,000 miles an hour? I don't know. How come we don't get thrown off?
No. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's gravity holds us to it. We're moving all at the same rate together, and the centrifugal force doesn't throw us off.
How come
because
I don't feel
the gravity is just holding everything down. And so,
how come I don't feel it?
Well, that kind of gets into the theory of special relativity, I guess. You don't, when you're moving at a constant rate of speed, you tend not to notice. Only when you change speed or you accelerate. Now, if the Earth were to suddenly accelerate, everybody would feel that. If you get in your car and you hit the gas pedal, you feel yourself moving backward into the seat, that's something you're going to feel. Acceleration is almost, you could say, like an absolute type of motion. And in my book, I describe how that inertia is the same thing as gravity. And this feeling that you get when you accelerate like that is because you're causing a contraction to space.
Mm-hmm. When you're researching into near-death experiences, what did you see a common theme about yes. what heaven looked like? What did you hear? What's the
there
common theme?
There are many patterns in near-death experiences. That's why they're so interesting. Yes, they're all individual to a certain extent because they talk to different people sometimes. They go through the tunnel sometimes. Sometimes they just arrive there in heaven or in the light. They basically, most people see a white light, but it's not like a white light that you could describe. It's an indescribable color of white, and it's sort of a luminescence that's just not describable, and that's the way most people describe it. It's brilliant, bright, but it doesn't hurt your eyes. People think with thoughts, and these thought they communicate thought mm-hmm. telepathy. They're feeling of great compassion and extreme powerful love and support and comfort, and they lose their material desires and feelings when they are out of the body. They look at the body and in the first few moments after their death, and they don't feel like a connection to it. They see it there, and many have said that. It's like, well, that was me, but I'm here and I'm okay, and I'm not attached to that anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's a very common thing. The most common thing is time. They say there's time doesn't exist there. There's just a single moment that's eternal, and a moment seems like an eternity, and an eternity seems like a moment. And, you know, they struggle with trying to describe how time works on the other side. And I actually talk about that somewhat in the book, how that might be, what would make sense for that to be like that. Mm-hmm. And time is an interesting subject in, mm-hmm. in general, mm-hmm. How it works here and how it works on the other side. But those are some of the patterns that are very common across hundreds and hundreds of NDEs. You know, mm-hmm. that's part of the evidence. That's mm-hmm. part of the proof that the afterlife is real. God is real. Jesus is real. We should be teaching that in elementary school. Everybody should know that, hey, this is where you came from, and you're going through a life experience. Live your life as fully as you can. Don't sit back and wait for things to happen. Mm-hmm. Stop watching TV.
That's an easy one. You know, it's interesting where you're talking there. There's a certain phenomena that has to do with hospice. And if anybody in the live chat knows somebody that went through hospice, what I'm about ready to say, tell me if you heard this. But in a condition or something that happens during hospice later, that who's ever in it has a tendency to want to take their clothes off, and really it's because they want the really what I think what the nurses say or what the hospice thing says is that they're trying to get out of this life, and they feel like it's, you know, part of this life, and they're no longer part of this life, and they want, you know, so it's not like any weird thing. It's just that they don't want anything to do with this life, so want to take their clothes off. Has anybody seen that phenomenon? Know somebody in hospice? Or there's another phenomena that happens that in hospice that they have a tendency to see people that may be on the other side.
That I've heard many times, that they see as they approach. It happened to my sister-in-law in her last days. She said she saw her mother sitting in the chair in the room waiting for her. That's very common. That's happened to tens of thousands of people. I mean, in America alone, there's something like 200,000 NDEs now, thanks to the advancement in technology. We're able to bring back people on a very regular basis, and a lot of those people are having NDEs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're talking about synchronicity in the first hour. Have you had any recent synchronicities?
Oh, I'm trying to think of a recent one. You know, it probably will come to me an hour after this show.
Yeah, well, you know, Just putting you on, I've the, had, putting you on the spot there, no problem.
I've had many in the past where I would like make a prayer. Like one night I was praying, how can we know the future? It just doesn't seem like it's possible. How can we know the future? And I remember falling asleep with that little thought in my head. And then I had this very strange dream that night. I dreamed I was walking in the parking lot going to work, and it was a color dream, which is unusual for me. And as I was walking through the parking lot, I look at the sunrise. It was a beautiful golden sunrise. And I looked down, and I saw a dime lying on a white stripe in the parking lot, heads up. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, and I said, well, that was interesting. I don't know what that was all about. And I went back to sleep and basically forgot about it. Woke up the next morning, got dressed, drove into work, and as I'm walking into the parking lot, and I see that sunrise, and I said, huh, that looks familiar. I could have sworn I remember this. You know, you get that deja vu feeling. And then I'm walking in a random, you know, I go walk a different way. It's never the same way. And I walk and I look down, I see a shiny dime, the sunlight shining on it, on the white stripe, heads up. And when I saw that, I got a shockwave of chills going through me. I said, I dreamt this last night. And so my prayer was answered. There's this synchronicity. The prayer, the little minor miracle was answered. And yes, you can see the future. And they had me see the future through a dream.
Well, I'll tell people right now, what's not synchronicity is if, say, you're talking about something, and all of a sudden it comes through an ad comes through your Facebook feed for that thing. That's not synchronicity, and that's not angels talking to you, man. That's Facebook spying on you, listening to you when you don't think they are. So that don't right. That's not it. So I know some people say, "Wow, look what I was just talking about horses, and a horse ad came on right. No, they're listening to you. They are spying on you, man. All right, let's get to this question from Ozzy. Says, if you had a time machine, where would you go back to or forward to?
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, I'm very nostalgic, so I'd probably go back to my childhood. Just like in that, remember that the Twilight Zone episode where the guy's car breaks down outside of town and he walks into town. I think it was Gig Young, and sees himself in, you know, 20 years earlier as a kid again. I would like to see that time because it was a very simple, innocent, happy time, and you know, so I miss that a lot. So if I had to go back in time, I'd probably go there just to experience how it was to be in that time again.
Well, let me ask something. Back in that time, so say your happy childhood time, wherever time that was, let's just say it was 65, would say 45?
Exactly.
Okay, well, synchronicity right there. Yeah. 65 Mustang came out, the Beatles got the Help album come out. All right, so but say 1945, if they saw what was happening in 65, would they say, I don't want to go there, I want to stay here? And then, like right now we're saying, as we look at 2020 and we got people walking around with their pants falling down and everybody's got masks, it looks like hell out there. in 20 years, will we say, man, I wish I could go back to 2020? So it's a simple time.
That's a good question. I don't know if they there might
is
be.
Is it relative?
Because
we're talking about super relativity. So is your time relative?
It's all relative. Yeah. So you know, some people might feel that way and feel comfortable because that was their good time or whatever. You know, but you know, that's an individual thing. They may not, and maybe you know, like you say, in I don't think there's going to be a lot of people want to go back to the year 1945 in Berlin. Not a happy time. They were getting shelled, burned, blasted, shot. not a happy time. I don't think there'll be a lot of people. Maybe in other parts of the world, but certainly not in Europe. 45 would be a bad year to go back.
That reminds me of a scene. Everything reminds me of a scene of a movie. In the movie Signs with Mel Gibson, he's sitting on the couch with his brother, and they're talking about whether things are by accident or guarded. And his brother tells him, says, you know, I was sitting on the couch with this girl who was drinking, and I was going to lean over to kiss her, and just as I started to lean over, she puked. And he said, if I had just got an inch closer to her lips, she would have puked in my mouth. Ugh. And I would have been scarred forever. So was that somebody looking out for him? Life took a turn, but it could with this way or that, one way is grosser in hell and scarred for life. Another way is, wow, I missed that.
it's hard to say, you know. Some things just sort of happen, and sometimes you're just guided. You know, it's happening every day all over the world. People are not. Let me give you a clear example of what you're just saying.
Okay.
And this actually happened to me. I'm driving home from work. From IBM back in North Carolina many years ago, and I come up to a T intersection, and every day I have the choice. I can go left, it's the quiet, peaceful roads, or I can go right, and it's a little bit shorter, very hectic, a lot of lights. I don't usually go that way. I take the quiet, peaceful country roads home, and as I'm driving up to that intersection, I hear a voice in my left ear say, "Don't go that way." Because I already thought I was going to make that turn. Mm-hmm. And I said, I turned around, I looked, there's nobody in the car, but I heard a voice, not in my head, as if somebody was right next to my ear. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that couldn't be real. And then I heard it again. He said, it was a male, "Don't go that way." And what do you think I did?
You went that way.
I went that way. Because
I don't know.
And I felt... After that, I felt so bad because they're trying to save my life. What was happening, I was about to enter into an exit point. What's an exit point? So an exit point is a premature death because of circumstances that arise, mm-hmm. a danger, something that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I was so interested in proving what I just experienced was real and true. I went that way. Not thinking, hey, Mark, you know, maybe they're telling you that because you're going to get killed. Mm-hmm. And I was just so curious, and I just wanted to prove I was right. If I went the other way, I would never know, because whatever bad was going to happen would happen, and I wouldn't have seen it. Mm-hmm. So I went that way. And, you know, I'm really guarded. I'm looking ahead. I said the worst thing could happen would be a head-on collision. And I'm looking and looking, and I'm about three-quarters of the way home, and sure enough, all of a sudden, up ahead, this pickup truck begins to swerve, and it's on two-lane road, and he's going into our lane, going across, wildly swerving. Cars are turning out of the way. The guy in front of me, I was trying to stay close to a big van so I have some protection. Mm-hmm. He bailed out, and the next thing you know, that car is coming straight mm-hmm. at me. So I turned the wheel as hard as I could because I was watching, trying to prepare, and got out of the way, and we missed by inches. And that guy then went shooting by me, spun around, and stopped in the middle of the road. And then, fortunately, nobody was hurt. But then I thought to myself, you stupid person, you fool, you could have been killed. They were trying to save your life, and you didn't listen to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I felt so bad that I didn't listen to a warning. It couldn't be any more real and dramatic than that. And I said, I apologized when I got home. I said a prayer, please forgive me for not listening to you. Mm-hmm. That was a very stupid thing to do. And they've complained. And afterwards, he says, and other meetings with mediums, he says, but you never listen to us, they're saying. Mm-hmm. They're telling me that.
So is there a difference between an event being positive or negative, being just a culmination of time and chance, or is it predestination supposed to happen? Is there a difference, or are they the same?
They coexist together. There's free will and predetermination, work hand in hand. So the future is... You must realize the future is always in motion. It's never set. So they can look ahead and see all the possibilities and then the most probable thing that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the further you get, the less exact the prediction, unless it's part of a life plan thing with a strong destiny path. Certain things just have to happen. Mm-hmm. They're very important. I'm kind of in one of those things. But so a prediction close up is very easy for them to do and get you that information. But a month down the way, a year away, it becomes harder and harder because you've got a lot of butterfly effects going on.
Well, it's like the song from Rascal Flatts, God Bless the Broken Road That Led Me Straight to You. In that song, he's saying, all my wrecked relationships brought me to the woman that I love, and but without those broken wrecks, he wouldn't be there.
And one other thing, remember, the spirit guides, if you're not on the right path, they're going to give you hints and pushes and nudges, so they're trying to help you get to the right place to make that plan, that predetermination happen, if you get off course a little. That's happening for everybody. That's the synchronicity you talk about. That's the distant hands and foreign lands turning hidden wheels that I talked about in the beginning. That's how it works. And it's the same for everyone.
All right, somebody asked this question. Teflon Co. says, do rich people already have anti-gravitation transportation at their disposal?
I don't think it's rich people. I think the United States government has succeeded. They've been working on it for at least 70 years. They have a 70-year head start. And I know of eyewitnesses that had a close-up view of one of our ships, but they're afraid to come forward. But they saw, so they know for sure we have them. The United States government has already succeeded in building anti-gravity crafts.
Yeah, I hate that too, man. It seems like they've got advanced technology. They're just not sharing it with us, man. All right. Akira says, Mark, have you read the info on time in Emerald Tablets of Thoth? Have you ever heard of that?
No, says, I haven't. Says, and I don't want to talk about stuff I don't know about.
Okay, maybe it goes on to say, time is not in motion, but we move through time as our consciousness moves from one event to another. How about that?
Well, that's a pretty decent definition. I talk about time. I think I dedicate a whole chapter to it at one point, or certainly I break it into parts in various book. Time in the physical, we're born, us right now are born into a time segment. All time is happening at the same moment, and that's the only way time travel can work, if that is true. And then how you get to other time segments is you open up a portal, and which is a stargate, and I do that in the second to the last chapter of the book. I talk about stargates, time travel, intergalactic travel.
Nice.
You could use stargates to do all kinds of stuff. And we have the technology for that right now. It's called it's a metamaterial. And what is a metamaterial? Well, now we're going to get technical. There's no way to avoid this.
Hit me.
A metamaterial makes it possible for like photons that shine inside of it to go at an infinitely fast speed. And the metamaterial achieves this by controlling the permittivity and permeability of space within that material. If you diminish it, if you reduce it to zero, according to Maxwell's equation, C equals 1 over the square root of permittivity times permeability, if you reduce those two properties of space to zero, you can go at any speed you want. The lower you go, the faster you can go, and that's how the slipwave technology works. So if you wanted to really mess with time, you adjust the space using fractal lenses that are made of this metamaterial. And I believe that's what our government has succeeded in doing. And if you go on the ResearchGate right now, you could read about scientists who claim they have created fractal lenses and claiming that the light inside of those devices goes infinitely fast.
Wow. Some great writer once wrote what time does, and they said this, Mark. It said, who can say where the road goes, where the day flows, only time? And who can say if your love grows as your heart chose, only time? How do you like that?
Yeah, beautiful. Time is a cool thing. I don't like going backwards in it because I think it messes up things. And if the government's doing it, I'm asking them to stop, because then you get the Mandela effect, and you've got alterations in the timeline, which is, I'm fundamentally against doing that.
You know,
I don't so much mind going into the future, but going into the past can really mess things up.
You know, I was thinking, because I'm a cowboy, and you know those cowboys we sang, and I was thinking those prophetic words about time, maybe I could put it in the music. I'm just spontaneity right here, right off the cuff. Let's see. I'm going to sing that. I'm going to sing that. Let's see. Who can say where the road goes, where the day flows? Only time. And who can say if your love grows as your heart shows? Only time. If I was going to put those words in music, that's how I'd sing it, just like that.
Very nice. You can hold a tune.
Right. A little inside joke there. All right, we got this. Oh, look at this. Do you think Bigfoot and Dogman are coming in and out of the dimensions as well? I mean, we talked about Bigfoot. You know, there's a whole cadre of creatures that have been documented on this planet.
Yeah, there's all kinds of strange stuff going on.
Everybody's not making this up.
Right, there's got to be some amount of it that's legitimate stuff that are either aliens or interdimensional creatures. It's obviously happening, but, you know, it's not something that can be reproduced in a lab unless, of course, you have a Stargate.
Right.
And, you know, there's the Montauk Project that claims that creatures have come in from the portal thing that they created back in New York State many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was using magnetic resonant fields, which they don't use anymore. That's old technology. They're using the new technology that I told you about just earlier. I suspect strongly that a lot of these weird creatures that we're seeing, and there's some really weird ones out there, that are either interdimensional or just aliens that have come through some sort of portal technology, which I think is probably pretty commonplace on other more advanced planets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this last time or not, but there was an eyewitness at the Skinwalker Ranch out west that said literally they saw a portal open right in front of them and a Bigfoot crawl out of it. I mean, these were scientific, military people that saw that, because there were so many things happening at the Skinwalker Ranch. There's a whole, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, your book there, The Masters of Reality and Unified Field Theory, and these things, because there's so much that's around us that's going on. We need to have all the information we can get, because some part of what you say will ring a bell with somebody else and say, that's why this is going this way or that way, you know. So everybody brings to the table some information, Mark, and you've certainly been bringing it tonight. I do like your seashell. That was taking something very technical and made it easier for us to digest.
Yeah, you need to have that visualization to understand the theory, because that's the things that I see in my mind, and I finally found a nice object that perfectly describes what a particle looks like at the very small level, which we will never be able to see with our eyes.
Now, have you ever taken a seashell and heard somebody put it up your ear and hear somebody say something, say, "Hey, Mark, what's going on?" Have you ever heard that in a seashell?
I hear this like little hum thing that goes on in there, but I got tinnitus, so I hear a lot of ringing.
Okay.
That's about all I hear anymore.
Another, getting toward the end of the show here, so let's get a couple more questions in real quick for you. Is the new Space Force powered by anti-gravitational craft?
Well, the Space Force that they don't actually admit to having, the other one where they're just, you know, using rockets and stuff, that's for show, probably. But the real Space Force, the secret one, which we probably have, and it has been seen by airline pilots who were flying over Area 51 and told to turn at 90 degrees right now, and they ask why, and the radar place wouldn't tell them why. They said, just turn now. And as they were turning, they looked over. They knew where Area 51 was at, and they looked over it, and they saw coming straight down from the, outer space, 12 bright lights stop over the base and then zip in and land. I think we already have a substantial force, and I don't know what they're up to. And it's a shame that we can't find out. They've probably already been to Mars. They've probably already been to the nearest stars. Because if you use the technology I talk about in the book, the slipway bias drive, you can go virtually any speed you want, tens of thousands of times faster than the speed of light. And you have to do that. If you want to go to a star that's 45 light years or 65 light years away, you can't go at the speed of light. It takes 65 years one way. It's not practical. You've got to break this light speed barrier by tens of thousands of times. You got to get there in like 45 minutes or so, because it's incredibly unsafe to go beyond the speed of light. And if you have a system failure, when that happens, you just die.
Yeah, that don't sound like you're going to survive something like that if you're traveling the speed of light.
No, because there's laws of physics that kick in when you're not inside of the bubble, the slipwave bias field. If that field collapses when you're moving at the speed of light or greater, the Lorentz transformations take over, and you're crushed into a little dot. Your mass goes up to nearly infinite. It's a quick death. Believe me.
Sounds like
so. You need to get where you're going quickly.
Well, I'll tell you what. Our last week's guest, he got pretty. He said it only cost him $20 to ride the train that goes through the wormhole.
I don't know.
Wormhole. He said that. But let me ask you something.
I don't
know. If you're going in space, okay? We're going to give you a vehicle, and it's got the speed of light technology in it, and you're going to warp 10, okay? The fastest you can go, and you just keep going, okay? And you go past all the universes, all of them. What do you run into? What's on the other side? What's out there?
Well, according to the one NDE person, nobody that I know of has succeeded in that. You could certainly build, with my technology, a starship that could do that.
Okay.
Like, just okay. By reducing the permittivity and permeability, and you do that by using an intense magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, you can get outside of the galaxy within a few minutes. Mm-hmm. You can get out of the universe. If you go infinitely fast, it's incredibly unsafe. There's no telling how far you will go. You will probably leave this known universe, and you will enter what is called the void, which is a place between universes. And if they're sufficiently far apart, you just may be in a black region where you can't see anything, and you don't know how to get back, unless you have a very precise ship that can reverse everything precisely time-wise and get you back to the same point. Which would be a very advanced technology.
Well, what I'm talking about, Mark, is you're going past all the known universes, trillions and trillions of universes. You're going past all of them.
There's no past all of them.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to. You say there is. You just keep seeing them. They go
it's
on
eternal.
Infinity.
No. The superverse is an eternal thing, and it's expanding constantly. God, according to the NDE people, is constantly creating new universes and dimensions.
So you
and
couldn't
it's
travel
all happening at once.
You couldn't travel far enough or fast enough to get past these new universes that are being spoken into existence.
No, there would always be, from what I understand, there would always be more, because it's infinite. You're dealing with an eternal being that's been here forever and will be here forever. So
okay.
It's a very tough thing to think about, analyze, and understand when we are finite creatures.
All right.
We have beginnings and ends, and there's no beginning and end to this thing.
Well, I tell you what, Mark, we're at the end of the broadcast. So anything you'd like to say, the final thoughts?
Well, just if you want to know more about any of this information, and if you want to know how the solution to the unified field theory problem, just come to my website, www.super-relativity.com, and I have a blog there, and you can leave comments there, or you can sign up for my subscription, and I'll send you a message or whatever if you have a question. I'll be able to respond and get back to you.
Okay. Well, all right, Mark Fiorentino, I appreciate you coming on the Edge broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Yeah, sure. There's plenty to talk about. Fun stuff, and I enjoy our conversations.
All right, sir. I appreciate your time tonight. Thanks for coming on.
Okay. Thanks.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.